right. $187. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, it's a lengthy reading, okay? So just bear with me. Chapter 12, Book of Revelation, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars from heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole earth, the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. A little lengthy reading. We're going to look at verse 7 through 12. And there was a war in heaven. And we hope that you will pray for us. You see, when we study anything that has to do with this book called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, there's only a couple of ways that you can actually study the book of Revelation. One is that you systematically start at chapter 1, feeling that it's all sequential going through chapter 22. You're going to have a very rough time because it doesn't always work out that way. In fact, it won't work out that way. Okay, the second way is that you know that there is 3 different views that this book covers. There's God's view from heaven, There's man's view from earth and the devil's view from hell. There's three different views. There's things that man will see, God will see, and the devil will see. Think the activity of heaven, activity on earth, and activity in hell. So there is actions that are here in this book that when you take like chapter 12 and you look at what is being said about the woman, the dragon, the war, and the rejoicing, and the final conclusion. So if you look at these things in a way that you want to understand them, you have to understand that you're stepping back in time and looking forward in time. And then you have a space of there that is not even mentioned between verses 5 and 6. And then you take up again another view. So you have past, you have present, and you have future. Everybody with me so far? So I want to take you along with me as we pitch our mental tents along this chapter 12 and look at this great war. Before we can get to the war, we must get past the characters. In the first place, we must recognize that in this chapter, these chapters of the book of Revelation, a lot of it is not written with a historical record like the Gospels or the book of Acts. But there are visions, and there are historical events, and they're made up in symbolic language. And that symbolic language, it gives us another vision. And we look at the visions, the language, and the history, and we come up with a conclusion. Amen? So there are things that have already occurred. There are things that are already revealed. And yet there's things to come. And they all appear in this chapter. So we're looking at something that has to do with discovering who these characters are. Now, are you ready to go? Not ready yet, huh? Okay. I understand. Now, the first thing that we understand is in verse 19 of chapter 11, that the temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple an ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and great hail. That's what's happening in heaven. All of a sudden, you see heaven, and you see the temple of God, and it was open in heaven. And the missing thing that you don't see is Jesus at the right hand of God. So there is something happened in heaven. So we begin here by looking and asking ourselves, what's happened in heaven that it would so disturb heaven that all of a sudden in the temple of God, you hear of lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and great hail. All that you can say is God's attitude towards earth has changed. An event has happened somewhere that has altered the temple of heaven. Now, when you look at that is futuristic. That has not happened yet. Jesus is still at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. So that last verse of chapter 11 tells us something happens, and then the vision starts. So we can't have the vision without understanding the time frame of where this puts it. Futuristic, somewhere in the future. But the vision will cover past, and it will cover future. Cloudy? I can understand. Let's go a little further. We know something has happened in heaven that's changed the attitude of God. Now God is going to show John this great wonder. And he starts. Now remember, this wasn't divided into chapters, and it wasn't divided into verses when this was written. It's free flowing. We put the chapters verses in so we can find it and study it, right? But the Bible did not come with chapters and verses in it. It come in scrolls. Amen? So when you read chapter 11, verse 19, the atmosphere of heaven has changed because the attitude of God has changed. Now, there appeared a great wonder or sign in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, that is her description. She's dressed. She's clothed with the sun. The moon is under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. There's three different interpretations of who she is. If you lean towards Catholicism, they're going to tell you that she represents Mary, glorified Mary, Mother of Jesus, Mother of God. If you're not too heavily into Catholicism and you're an old-time Protestant with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and sanctified beyond your own recollection, and you just don't think that Mary ever is going to be that kind of a woman, though she was a good woman, full of the Holy Ghost, then you have to look at the other two. The earlier church writers believed that this was symbolic of the church. You have a hard time making that hold up all the way through the book of Revelation. Church. No, I don't believe that it is the church. The third option then, because I don't want to go into the long detail of telling you why it's not the church. It's just not the church. Take my word for it, and then you will understand better as we look at the third. The third is that it's symbolic of Israel. Remember, these are symbols. These are visions. These are great signs. So the third choice is Israel. The reason that we think it's Israel, because it fits the vision that happened in the book of the book of Genesis. Joseph was given a vision of his mom, his dad, and his 12 brothers. His brothers were represented as stars, his mom as a moon, his dad as a sun. Israel, Jacob, his wife, his 12 children. So he fits back in the symbolic part of figuring out who this woman is. This is Israel, the wife of God. How many know God married Israel?
Yes, sir.
He one time asked her, said, "Where is your bill of divorcement?" "I never signed it." So he is married to Israel. So Israel, the church, amen, are the two main focuses of God, as I've instructed you before. This chapter 12 has to do with Israel. Notice how far it steps back into history. We look at it now, and it's 2,000 years old, this vision. And then if it was John could readily grasp it. He knew immediately that this man-child was his Savior. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Now before he describes her, then he describes her condition. She's in pain. She's going through the trauma of giving birth. And at the same time, then there is another. Separate from that one, over here. Look at this. And read. Wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. All of a sudden, in describing this dragon, he jumps futuristic again. He goes past Rome. He goes clear into the tribulation period and identifies him not from the past, but what he will be in the future. Then it drops back into the past again. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. As soon as it was, which means that there when the sign was given and this vision was seen, it fell prior to Jesus being born. The situation is the devil was ready. He was in control of the world. He was expecting a man-child. He was going to destroy it as soon as he could. It was either destroy the man-child or the man-child would destroy him. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
So the dragon is ready. It shows his revolt in heaven, that a third part of the stars of heaven, that those angels that fell with him, they cast them down to earth, and the dragon stood before the woman there on earth. Then goes back to her. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now that is the only thing that is said about our Savior in this whole chapter. But it talks just about his birth and his ascension. He was born and he ascended to God. How many can get an amen there? So here, now we're beginning to place the pieces. Now look. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Am I right? 3.5 years. The devil has knowledge of this book and he knows that when this is fulfilled, he will have 3.5 years before he is locked up. Do you understand that? He knows that. He knows exactly that he is going to fulfill these scriptures. That's why he hates the Bible. And that's why he tries to get you to be disinterested in the Bible. Because the Bible tells all about him and his purpose. And that's what this chapter is all about. Look at verse 7 as we begin now to talk about this war. Look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. And the devil don't like for you to read that. Prevailed not. How many of you understand what prevailed not means? He didn't win. He can't win. So he prevailed not. And neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Now we got to stop there. And we got to insert a little truth. How many know that between verses 5, Jesus caught up to the throne of God, and verse 6, this war that is starting in heaven is the grace period of 2,000 years. That we fit right in there between 5 and 6. What provokes the war is a good question. Why is there all of a sudden an attention drawn about a war in heaven and the angels of God fighting against Lucifer? And you have that in verse 6. And there is a war starts in verse 7. And then all of a sudden you find that he doesn't win the war, that he is cast out, that he is put in hold on earth. He's cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then verse 10, you have heaven breaking out in jubilation. Am I right? I know you're saying, well, what in the world does that mean to me? Simply is that there is in this the thought that the church again will be taken out of the way. And many people who are Bible students believe that verse 7 has to do with the rapture of the church. that when Jesus comes with a shout, am I right?
Amen.
With a shout and with a trump, and he comes into the upper atmosphere of heaven, that when he takes and begins to lead his people back, he will meet resistance from the devil. The devil will plot to keep the church out of heaven. And then with the church removed from earth, the whole scheme moves back to Israel. So who takes up the fight for Israel? Michael. For he is the great prince of Israel.
Yes, sir.
And he fights their battles. From the book of Daniel, you can understand that readily. And so we see that the battle is not, and nowhere in here do you find Jesus Christ. He is born, he is ascended. In that time that he's ascended and tribulation is going on, he is busy elsewhere. How many know he's busy elsewhere? Anybody know what he's busy doing? Busy getting married. He's having a wedding supper. So the church escapes Satan's war and his maneuver to cut the church off to disprove God. He is thrown back to the earth by Michael and his angels. He prevailed not. He is now shut out of heaven. Why? Because the church is safe at home. And he no longer can accuse the brethren because they've been raptured out. So God slams him down to earth and he is now caught in a time frame that he understands well. He's got 7 years. That's all he's got. Now he can't disrupt the church. So he turns to the woman. And the only other way that he can disprove this Bible is not God's word is to destroy Israel. For God had said, as long as there's a moon in the heavens and a sun in the heavens and there's stars in their course, I will not forsake Israel. That's pretty stout stuff. God said, I won't forsake them. And the devil knows that. So how do you attack God? How do you make disproof of God? You attack the entity on earth that God cares for. Israel is God's wife. Israel is God's people. Israel is the one who God has a covenant with. Israel. God has promised to bring them back from every nation where he had scattered them. And while you're thinking about it, remember 5 and 6, grace is inserted here. The church is in there before he goes back and deals with that. But at the same time, while the church is here, Israel is scattered. We all know by our history books that 1948, Israel became something that the devil could attack. Before that, they was not recognized. They were just people. He could kill a Jew every day. Nobody would notice it. But when it became a nation again, he could attack it. How many wars have been fought in your lifetime? And most of them had to do with Israel. What came out of the First World War? The Zionist movement. What came out of the Second World War? Israel as a nation. Amen. So now the devil has an entity to fight against, and he is fighting against. He has an entity to fight against, which he fights against the church. But he will lose the battle for the church, for Jesus himself is going to come and receive us that we may be where he is also. So when he comes down into the air, he is coming to catch away a church. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
The devil will try to thaw it. It's his last shot at the church. He will not be able to affect the bride of Christ ever again. That's his last maneuver, is to try to keep the rapture from happening. And how many know you might as well try to keep the sun from coming up? And all of a sudden he has no choice now but the woman. And he is angry with the woman. He is angry with her seed. He comes down to make war with the woman and war with her seed. He comes down to destroy them. And Jesus said, except those days were shortened, there would be no flesh saved. That's how horrific it's going to get. But you see here that this is what happens. Listen to heaven. Then we'll go back to the war. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. Why, the devil is cast down. He's bound on the earth. And strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, the word therefore means, considering everything you just read. Am I right? They have overcome. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath what? A short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's Israel. And to the woman was given two wings, symbolic again, of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, half a time, from the face of the serpent. Notice that? That's the middle of the tribulation, for there's only 3.5 years left. So Israel is put under such great pressure, and it's in the middle of the week that the beast, false prophet, and all of those 10 nations break their covenant with Israel. The beast comes into the temple area, sets himself up as God, and demands worship. Israel flees. There is now 3.5 years, 42 months.
Yes, sir.
That's all he's got. He has now come down to, he's got 3.5 years. He did have 7. When he tried to thaw it, the rapture of the church, and God put him down on earth and locked him into this earth. He cannot escape it. He can no longer go up into the air and be the prince of the air. He can no longer rule the principalities and powers of the air. The whole system, the whole hierarchy of the devil is down now on the earth, and he's locked there because he's got 3.5 years, 42 months, and he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. He knows it.
Yes, sir.
At the end of 1,000 years, he'll be loosed, only to give another short time. And then he will be cast into the lake of fire, and there will be never no more devil. That's why the devil hates preaching that tells the truth about him, that he cannot just control every situation. He is limited in his scope and his ability and his movement. God still reigns. Jesus Christ still has all power in heaven and in earth. So chapter 12 gives you a historic view of the struggle of Israel. She has been God's bride. Now, she's come to the fullness of time, and she brings forth a man-child. That man-child for 33 years lived among us as Emmanuel. Then he is caught up, ascends to heaven. And all of a sudden, grace starts. Israel is no more. Not that she is replaced, not that she's destroyed. She is dispersed and not a nation. And then in our lifetime, she becomes a nation again. And the first thing she does in 48 is fight one war. She wins that one. 67 brings on another war. She wins that one. Am I right? And she has been at war ever since. But that is not the end of the story. The end of the story is that when the rapture happens, Satan will be cut off from his approach to God and will be denied the access of the heavenlies and will be brought down to earth. He will prowl like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he is locked up on this planet. Can't get off. Can't escape. His destiny is written in the blood of this planet. He has spilled it. That's why he's called the Red Dragon. The Great Red Dragon. Bloody. For he has killed saints and martyrs and prophets. He has fought against God and God's people. He was the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. He was the reason that the first earth was destroyed. He was the reason that Noah's day was destroyed. He is a red dragon because he's bloody. He has caused more souls to be lost. We see his end right here. When the serpent cast out of his mouth waters as a flood after the woman, and some interpret that as an army, that his army is swallowed up. But if it's not, even if it's just that fact that he turns the world in hatred against the Jews, it would still be thwarted by God. For the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see the end. Not yet. We have it ending here. But then, if you read on, you will find him first being chained. Am I right? And then you will find him being cast into the lake of fire. It doesn't end. The war goes on. And that's the reason why John, in writing and the Holy Ghost giving it to him, did not put an end here, or we would have expected it. We would have been teaching like others that the millennial has already started and that our goodness is bringing in the millennial. But we know the devil is still running footloose and fancy free. He's still a wicked opponent. He still hates the church. He still hates Jews. He still hates Jesus Christ. He don't want to see nobody saved. He hates homes. That's why we're going through this period where the home is under such an attack. Marriage, he's attacking it because it's the first thing that God initiated on the earth. And now he's tearing home up. God made it. Jesus said, from the beginning it was not so that a man should divorce his wife.
That's right.
It was till death do us part. One man, one woman. Adam, Eve. Not Adam and who. It was Adam and Eve. That's the way God made it. Now what's sin doing? What's the devil's plot? Tear the home up. Strike at God. Turn children against parents. Strike at God. For the commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. Am I right?
Amen.
The devil is at war. But I've read the end of the book. The end of the book, there is no devil. He disappears. And I know where he disappears to. He disappears into the lake of fire. It's over for him. And after he is in the lake, we still live. We still overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We still are on our feet because we're upheld by the grace of God. We're still going to pray, and God's going to answer our prayer. The devil is still going to fight you, but the winner is the church, and the winner is Israel. For Israel will be the nation that rules the world. And the church will rule with Christ. So both entities become rulers. The law will go forth from Jerusalem. Jesus will set up his governorship out of Jerusalem. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords from Jerusalem. But the church shall reign with him for 1,000 years. We see this devil standing before, the dragon standing before this woman. But you notice how patient God is. He waits because he knows he wins. Jesus Christ was brought forth to destroy the works of the devil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To destroy the works of the devil. To put an end to it. To abolish it. And one day it will be. There will be a world without sin. There will be a new heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And there will be a new earth. Can I get an amen? Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Glory to God. No crooked dealings. No thieves. No murderers. No adulterers. No fornicators. No sinners. All of a sudden, we're living in a world of righteousness. It is so right that God comes down with a new city. Am I right?
Yes.
Called the New Jerusalem. He brings it down to the earth because God can now dwell among men. And the great wonder of it all is we shall see his face. God. Don't mean much to you, apparently. Thrills me beyond all end. I started out as a worm. Just think, I might become a prince. I started out in such a desperate need of a Savior, and he came to me. And I am what I am now by the grace of God. And this battle that is in front of us, the dragon would love to win, but he can't. The dragon would love to bluff his way through, but he can't. The weakest of the church still has power over all power of the enemy. We are his opponent now. But when tribulation starts, and Jacob's trouble is initiated, Israel will become his opponent. Oh, what opponent she'll make. For the first 3.5 years, God will use two men to hold back the whole world. Two men. That's all God needs is just two anointed men. And he can hold back the whole world. They call down plagues as often as they would. They are so Jewish, and they are so under the law. They are so much prophets that they have no mercy. You remember Elijah, don't you? If I be a prophet, let fire come down and burn you up.
Yes,
whap, 50 people disappear from the planet Earth. That's the way these guys are. Same mentality, same connection with God. Israel is being called back. They have a king. Amen. Jesus Christ. They have a priest, Jesus Christ, but they never had an Old Testament prophet for 2,000 years. Now the beast is facing two dedicated men who have power with God that what they say God does. And what God says they do. And the beast and the world is held at bay until their time has been fulfilled. And that's right in the middle, right at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And all of a sudden, the thing changes. The devil now is down. And the devil now has but a short time. And the devil is very angry. But angry as he gets, he cannot stop the forward march of God. For God is counting it down. Now it's 40 months. Now it's 39. Now. And soon it gets down to 1 month. And then it gets down to 3 weeks. Then it gets down to 1 week. And the devil knows his time is running out. He gets more angry. He tries to destroy. And then before he can get the job done, the heavens open. It is the final curtain for the devil. The heavens open. Can you imagine him on earth looking up and seeing those heavens that he once controlled opened up by the supernatural power of God? And there sits Christ on white horse with his saints with him, and he's drawing near to the earth, and the closer he gets to one, his foot touches the earth. And the Mount of Olives splits, and the devil knows his day is up. The Antichrist falls, and the beast falls, and they're cast alive into the lake of fire. And then an angel, one angel, one angel, one angel, one angel with a chain comes and binds Lucifer, and he's bound and put in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And I tell you, my friend, it's all in the book. The great war is at an end. And God wins. The devil has fought a gallant fight, but he loses. Amen. The devil has withstood some mighty men, but he loses. Amen. He may have got Jesus crucified, but he got up. He went up, and he's coming back. And he's not coming back as a mysterious thing. He's coming back at the last coming. He's coming back to be seen by every eye. He's coming back to wake the dead. He's coming back to rule and reign. And I tell you, that Jesus is my Savior. That Jesus is my King. That Jesus is my Lord. And I know I can trust Him no matter how the devil roars, no matter how much he fights. Jesus is on the side of righteousness. And if I live holy, He'll uphold me. Glory be to God. So, just a little, right out of the middle. Just a little bit of it. Revelation, right out of the book, tells a whole story of the glorious deliverance of the church, and the glorious deliverance of Israel, and the wonderful defeat of the devil till heaven rings. Salvation has come. His days of ruling is over. Our enemy has but a short time. And then hold on, saints. Don't love your life. Don't love it. Don't try to keep it, because you lose it for Christ's sake, you'll gain it. But if you try to hold on to it, you'll end up losing it. And they watched them high from the perch of heaven. They said, and they overcome. See, God, they overcome. And God said, I'm going to help them overcome. I'm going to send plagues. I'm going to send vials. I'm going to send bowls. It's going to hail. It's going to lightning. It's going to thunder. They're going to feel my anger. I'm going to help them overcome. I'm going to keep the devil busy. I'm going to stop him when he needs to be stopped. I'm going to hold on because he's got but a short time. And I read the end of the book. And what a lovely country we're headed to. And what a glorious city we're headed for. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When it's all said and done, God's children, whether you be church or Israel, both of them is destined to reign with him. And they do. Any questions? I have the professor sitting over here, and he can answer any question you got. Yeah. Book.
Yes, sir.
It's imperative that we believe the book. Scientist says the world is billions of years old, something like that. I don't read their silly stuff because I don't believe their silly stuff. I believe God created this world. That's why this world has not come apart, because God still holds it together. Amen. So we know that God made the world and God will keep the world. And this world cannot be destroyed by man and his inventions, because God said he's got it reserved unto fire. But even the fire doesn't destroy it. For out of the ashes of the old world comes a brand new world with no more sea. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come Sunday morning, we'll take you on a trip, on our first trip to heaven. Come Sunday at Sunday school, we'll go to heaven. And then we'll come back to earth and work a while longer. All right? And then next Thursday night, we'll get back in this book and see if I can maybe help you some next time. Want a simpler something? Is that too tough, Debbie? No? Is that too tough? How many like a simpler version? There's no simpler version. It's all truth. All right, let's stand and they'll get us a song. This altar is open. If I was a sinner, I tell you what I would do. I'd quit my sinning and work on the building too. I'm working on a building. This one right here. I'm working on a building for my Lord. For my Lord. I'm working on a building. It's a Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord. Tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd start working on that building. And I'd want it done before Jesus comes. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and far baptized. I want to be working on that building, don't you? How many will raise your hand and just thank the Lord as they sang, and then make your way to this altar if you want to come and pray? God bless you.